Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Locked On Braves, brought to you by Locked On Podcast Network and the Odyssey Group, along with our friends at Tegna. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto, family owned and operated since the jump. RockAuto.com, the perfect place to help take care of your car. And if you like this episode and want to follow along, you can subscribe to the Locked On Braves podcast, as well as all of your favorite Locked On hosts and shows, which if you're a fan of sports team, there's a Locked On show for you. I can promise you there's more shows on this network than I could possibly name off the top of my head. All you got to do is follow your favorite show, like, subscribe on whatever your favorite platforms are, be it TuneIn, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, whatever, and you'll be kept up to date anytime a new episode drops, which for Locked On, for the MLB side anyway, is Monday through Friday. We're close enough to it here on Locked On Braves. And we would love to follow along all season as the Braves are looking to get right as they head to New York, not to play the Mets, but to start an interleague series against the Yankees. But unfortunately for this Braves fan, it comes at almost a bad opportunity. Some good news yesterday to lighten the Braves' hearts, and we will dive right in. So, like I just said in all of that verbose verbiage, the Braves get to start this series with New York with some about as good a news as you could hope for. So we all collectively held our breath and started screaming like little children when Ronald Acuna came up injured. When I first saw it, I thought it was his hand, or he jammed a finger because he was shaking his hand out. Dives back in on another play and comes up, and he's holding his stomach and did not look comfortable, looked like he was hurting a lot. There was a lot of people doing what I thought at the time was just the hopeful thing of, he knocked the wind out of himself. But he stayed in running the bases, still didn't look comfortable, dove in on a sac fly attempt at home, which he kind of really didn't need to, and came up really, really hurt. Gets x-rays done, he's fine. Got an MRI yesterday, turns out it is a lower abdominal strain. He is day-to-day, and just judging by how everybody's speaking about it, nobody's really worried, but this is the Braves, and I've seen what's happened before with seemingly innocent injuries like Dansby Swanson's wrist and Ozzie Albies. And a few other guys where I've been told, they're fine, until they're not fine. So until I see Acuna back on the field for the Braves, I'll be a little bit worried. I doubt we'll see him in New York. I would imagine, even though he's not going to go on the 10-day, I would imagine he's going to get a couple days off, or at least if it were me operating, I would probably give him a couple days off. The sad news is Braves at 7-9, they may not want to. They may be trying to really change the momentum as they took that series from the Cubs after winning 13-4, after losing 13-4. They really want to come in on what's been a bad Yankees team so far, and you don't want to let them get going either. Because unlike the Cubs, this Yankees lineup really is a scary lineup. And they're not really hitting right now. They've got some injuries of their own. But they do still have DJ LeMahieu, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Gio Urshela. Clint Frazier hasn't done anything this year, neither has Gleyber Torres, but we know that those guys are capable. They're not a bad lineup at all, and they've got a deep, thick bench. Starting pitching, I think we'll miss Gerrit Cole, which is nice. We'll face Jameson Taillon. We'll talk about him a little bit more later. But overall, this Yankees team does appear to have a lot of power, even if they haven't quite hit for it yet. It's a team that at any point they're going to break out this year, just like the Braves are going to break out. They're not going to continue the way that they are. And this is only a 2-game set, so it'd be really nice to see the Braves go in there and take both of these games from the Yankees. Tonight's will be at 6:35. Looking forward to seeing this. I haven't seen the Braves play the Yankees in a little while. I hate 2-game series, to be honest with you. I don't really consider them a series. Either play three or just don't play any. But it'll be cool. I wish that we'd be able to have the DH though, but with Christian Pache still on the 10-day and Ronald Acuna probably going to miss this series, I would imagine Marcell Ozuna is going to have to play in left field. And it's not like, it's not like he can't do it. He's not great at it, but this is kind of how it goes. I just wish that we had an actual DH option. I would imagine Pablo Sandoval is going to end up being our DH. Maybe he'll surprise me like he's done pinch hitting. But the Braves managed to somehow get to their first allowed DH of 2021 and end up going with a lineup that you could have seen in 2019 or 2018. Overall, though, today's matchup, I'm looking to see the starting pitching kind of figure some things out. Charlie Morton, he's faced the Yankees a lot. He's had success against them. Coming into this, he's had one really good start, and the rest of his other two starts have been very lackluster right now, 1-1 with a 4.76 ERA and almost a 1.3 whip, which is very un-Charlie-like. He does have 21 Ks in 17 innings, which is nice to see, and only 5 walks. But he seems to he's been losing it a little bit in the fifth. Maybe this is still, you know, it's still early in the season. We're only about a month in. So maybe it's just Charlie kind of gearing up and getting ready. But the starting pitching and really the pitching as a whole for the Braves has been really lackluster and what was expected to be a strength of the team, at least this far early in the season. So I'm going to look for Morton to get right and to get the Braves staff right, taking on Jameson Taillon, who's a really, really talented pitcher who's had a lot to overcome. Had a second Tommy John surgery. Actually had a bout with testicular cancer as well. Jameson Taillon, and he's still under 30. This is a guy that when the Pirates were shopping him, I would have liked the Braves to get him. He's a guy that I've always really liked. He's always had really good stuff. I think I believe he was the third overall pick a while back in what was a bad rotation for the Pirates to look back on, is that had Jameson Taillon, Garrett Cole, who else was on that one? Tyler Glasnow was not a starter at the time, but he was in the system still. That's been a rough go for the Pittsburgh Pirates. They've had, or Joe Musgrove as well. They've had some pieces there that have all gotten better outside of there. So sucks for Pirates fans. But what Taillon does, he does have a good fastball, 95 to 96 if he wants to run it up. But he's been on a pitch count, and he got absolutely obliterated his last time out. So he's going to be looking to get right as well as he comes into this 0-1 with a 7.56 ERA with a 1.44 whip. 10 Ks and 8 1/3 innings, only 1 walk, which is nice to see from him. But he hasn't been able to go very long, and I doubt the Yankees are going to take the kid gloves off of him anytime soon. So be important for the Braves to get to him early, because the Yankees do have a really talented bullpen name-wise. I don't know that they've all been kind of pitching to that, but Chad Green is really good. Luis Cessa has been pitching really well. Darren O'Day, Jonathan Loaisiga. They've got 4 guys with an ERA under 2. 5 guys, actually. Well, Garrett Cole's on a reliever. So they got 4 guys with ERAs under 2. They still have Aroldis Chapman, Mike King in the back end who are pitching well. And they don't have many guys with whips over 1, only 2, and that's Luis Cessa and Darren O'Day. So their bullpen has pitched really, really well. We'll see kind of what happens. I do feel that this Braves team coming into this, now that the bats are starting to heat up a little bit, there's some encouraging signs that look like they're really about to break out, and I think they can handle Taillon. And I think Charlie Morton has the edge over Taillon pitching in New York, and he's pitched there more often than Taillon has. But we'll take a look at that coming up next. We'll discuss kind of how I see things going for the Braves this series and what I'm looking to see. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this here on Locked On Braves. Hey everybody, it's Dylan from Locked On Braves. This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. That's the key word there. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into that special someone's life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagements, Mother's Day, which is coming up, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only. So that's not a lot of time, guys. Today through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. This collection features high-quality, fine jewelry that's really going to surprise you and really delight that special someone. And they're fairly priced, again, which is kind of, you know, my main take on it. I don't have this lucrative podcasting gig does not allow me enough to really go out there and shell $30,000 for a ring. So when I get it, I like to be fairly priced. And talking about the specific jewelries, they've got rings from Plat Boutique, which is very, very amazing. It's a simple and clean design, but vintage details that are just incredible. It's a perfect little ring. It's so timeless, it makes the perfect gift. If you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring that you know that person will treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check out BlueNile.com. They won't be around for long. This collection is not going to be around long. Right now, through Mother's Day, they're not going to be around. You got to go. So find them now by searching the words 1010 only at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com. Hey everybody, it's Dylan from Locked On here to tell you about my good friends at Rock Auto. You heard them in the title sponsor to the show, Rock Auto, family owned and operated. Your car does a lot for you. You should reward it by doing the right things for it when they need to be done. I know everybody hates going to the mechanic. I know everybody hates going to those auto parts stores. Well, you don't have to go to the stores now. You can order them. They can be shipped to your house. Just go to rockauto.com. They've got almost every part for almost every vehicle. They do a great job. They're family owned, so you know you got that nice price point. You're not paying the wholesale price that you're going to pay at those parts stores, or the markup price, I should say, that you're going to get at those parts stores. Just go to rockauto.com, and it's so much easier. No one wants to go out and leave. You don't have to put on pants to buy your parts. Go to rockauto.com, and when they ask you where you heard about us, the little box down there on the bottom of the screen, you're just going to go there, click Locked On. That's all you got to do. Just go to rockauto.com, keep your pants off, and buy your parts. rockauto.com today. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Braves. This segment is brought to you by Locked On NFL Draft Coverage. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft page, Locked On Prospects for NFL, any of your favorite NFL shows, as the draft is right around the corner. And this is a big time. For anybody that's a football fan, this is a huge time. Whether you're college and you're wanting to see where your favorite guys go, or how well your eye is at spotting the talent around college, or whether your team is in a prime spot for a draft, maybe if you're a Jets fan or a Jaguars fan, knowing that you're really about to change the future of your ball clubs, you want to follow along good draft coverage. I'm not talking about guys like Mel Kiper or Todd McShay who are awful. So just follow along with all of your favorite Locked On NFL draft coverage going on now until the draft. So this series, again, series in air quotes, because two games isn't really a series. This is a nice opportunity for the Braves to continue winning ways and kind of push past the whole streaky start of it and to really start to build some stuff, because the offense is starting to come around. Winning 13-4 without Ronald hitting home runs is a pretty big deal this year for this club. So it's nice to see Freddie Freeman. He's starting to hit the ball hard again. He's starting to have some of that bad luck turn around. He looks like he's about to go on a hot streak. This is fairly similar to last year. First 2 weeks, kind of off and cold, and things not working right for him. And all of a sudden, just goes on a mammoth tear. He's going to need it now, because if Ronald's going to miss any extended period of time, Freddie's going to have to really, really show out that MVP award that he won a season ago. Marcell Ozuna's starting to rip rockets everywhere, so he looks like he's about to go on a hot streak, which this is the perfect time for it. If Ronald is going to be hurt in any way, if he's going to have to slow down a little bit for a few weeks and kind of chill out on the base paths and kind of cool out the aggressiveness a little bit, you're going to need these two guys to carry this ball club, and they can. Travis d'Arnaud's starting to hit pretty well. He's starting to go opposite field a lot more, which is a good sign for Travis. Pretty soon, those oppos are going to turn into right center field bombs. Dansby's making a lot of contact. His chase rate is down, so he's actually performing pretty good at the plate. At least, underlyingly, there's some signs that he might be about to come out of it. Austin Riley, we talked about it yesterday, but goodness gracious, he is all sorts of lost at the plate. And I don't really know that I can call it lost. I'm pretty sure, like, this looks intentional, which that speaks a lot. That makes me very scared about the way his development is going, because it's untenable the way that he's going right now. They didn't draft him in the first round and give him the third base job for him to turn into an ender at third base. He's supposed to be hitting for power, so he's going to have to figure something out. The eighth spot in the order, now that Adrianza is probably going to be playing right field for a while, you're going to have Adrianza, Guillermo Heredia, and Marcell Ozuna in the outfield. Guillermo Heredia, despite the heroics against the Cubs, the two home runs including the Grand Slam, he is not a strong offensive player, so he will not be replicating things like that unless we just get a super luck streak, in which case we might have to all apologize to replay, because it seems like ever since those horrible replay calls, that horrible replay call against the Phillies, the offense has started to figure things out most nights. It's been more than just Acuna, who've been starting to show signs of life. And we should get Ozzy back. I don't know if he'll make it back this series. They've been kind of cautious with him. I would imagine with Ronald being out, there's going to be a bigger onus on Ronnie getting back in there, or on Ozzy getting back in there, because you don't really want to have to burn all of your bench, especially if Acuna's going to miss some games. And you don't want to have Adrianza and Camargo and Panda all starting, which would leave you Alex Jackson essentially as the lone man on the bench for any if you had to pinch hit or do anything like that. So we'll see what happens. I haven't seen any corresponding move, but that's because Ronald didn't go in the 10-day, so not really sure what the game plan is going to be. I think this is going to be one of those starts where the Braves are going to have to rely on Charlie Morton and say, hey, this is why we gave you $15 million. This is why you've been one of the best pitchers in the game ever since going to Houston, getting out of Pittsburgh. This is time for you to go out there and show that you're still a top guy. Go out there and kind of show that playoff pedigree and show what you got, because they're going to need some length out of Morton tonight. I would like them – I'm sure they would like to see six or seven innings out of him. The bullpen has been very shaky, and I think that's very, very worrisome. So if you're Brian Snicker, knowing that you're only got two games up here, then you'll get another day off, you got to be going after it. And I think Charlie's the guy. Charlie, it should be Charlie and Ian for the matchups here in New York. And for Ian, that'll be nice to see from him, because he hasn't looked good this year either. But I want to see Morton face a team that he's faced a lot and had success against a lot, go up there and kind of use it to get right. As tomorrow will be Ian Anderson and Corey Kluber, which will be a nice name matchup, but neither one pitching particularly well. So for Charlie tonight, it's going to be about that curveball, usually is. If he can spot it up and locate it, then he's going to have a good night. He's got a good fastball behind it that he can use to strike people out. He's actually striking people out a really good percentage this year. His stuff looks good. The command's been starting to drift on him, so I'm going to be eyeballing that fifth inning very, very closely. That seems to be right when he starts to kind of lose it this year, right, that second to third time through the order. So I'll be keeping an eye on that. No doubt the Braves are going to need him to kind of get it into gear two. Still no telling when Max is going to come back. I actually haven't heard a single report on Max since he went on the IL. We know Mike Soroka is going to be out for a little bit of time. Haven't heard anything about Drew Smyly either. So talked about Bryce Wilson and how steady he was. That's going to be important for him going forward, because he's going to stay in this rotation, I would imagine. And I'd imagine we'll see Kyle Wright another time through as well. It's a good thing that we have some depth, because it's getting tested right now. Now I worry about what's going to happen the next time Kyle Wright goes, but that's a little bit farther off. I'm going to save that for another episode. This is definitely going to have to be the offense, though, who's going to have to kind of carry the team while the pitching gets things kind of straightened out. Will Smith has been doing his best Luke Jackson impersonation. I hope he figures something out soon. I've been saying that he's going to, and some of his, like, his fit backs up that he's not pitching badly, but the walk rate is sky high. He's striking out a lot of people. It's just, I don't understand what's going on with him. Matzik, he didn't look good yesterday, but that's okay. Sunday, but it had been the first time he'd worked in a little bit, and they had an off day going into today, so you just needed to get him work anyway. I still believe he's the most talented. AJ Minter has looked not as good as he did a year ago. The command is not quite where it was, so that's been affecting him early. Hopefully we can see him get right too, because the Braves bullpen is going to have to be on point. This Yankees team, they're not hitting well at all. They're not winning. They're 5-10, but they've got guys that can really, really punish you, and it really only takes one mistake with a lot of these guys to get them into a hot streak. So you don't want that to be against you. I want to see the Braves shut them down and take both of these games. I'll settle for a split, but I really want to see them take both of these games, as the Yankees are kind of reeling right now, and take advantage of that if you're the Braves. And use the Yankees for a change as a team to get right against. I'm tired of people getting right against the Braves. It's time for the Braves to get right against somebody else. So we'll see what happens. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk again about Austin Riley and a couple of the more confusing moves looking back on them, including one from this offseason that still has me scratching my head a little bit. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this right here on Locked On Braves. Hey everybody, it's Dylan from Locked On Braves here to tell you about my friends at BetOnline. BetOnline.ag is the only place I go to place any wagers on sporting events, be that boxing, I'm still angry at you, Ben Askren, or MMA, or baseball. If I wanted to bet that the Braves would win the National League East, which I did, then I go to BetOnline.ag. I've actually got bets in on all the division winners, so we'll see how that works coming into next season. We'll see if I made myself any money or cost myself some going forward. But the point is, you can find all sorts of different lines on BetOnline. They're covering every sport. If you can think about it, there's probably a line for it. And if you want a particular line and they don't have it, all you got to do is contact them. And if it's a real decent idea, they'll create a line especially for you. Their customer service is fantastic. If you use our promo code Locked On, they're going to match your initial deposit up to 50%, which means if you put in $100, they're going to give you $50. That's that's not nothing. That's free money right there. Anytime you get free money, you have a chance to make more free money, and then you're really having a ball. So if you think that you're smart enough to do it, if you want to put your money where your mouth is, go to betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON today. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Braves. This segment is brought to you by the Locked On NFL Draft Show. So follow along with the Locked On NFL Draft and be kept up to date with all the prospects whose names you should be hearing about, not just the first round guys. Maybe they'll be telling you about why Zach Wilson is the second best quarterback in this draft, or maybe why you're lower on Trey Lance than everybody else, or that Kyle Pitts is amazing. I don't know, but you're also hear about guys in the third round, fourth round, guys that aren't going to be talked about by Mel Kiper and Todd McShay. So follow along with those guys leading up to the NFL draft and what's truly one of my favorite non-baseball events of the year. But for this last segment, we're going to touch on a couple things here. It's always weird to me when I look back. Like, when I don't understand a move that Alex makes, the first thing that comes to mind for all of you guys, and really to myself too, is, well, Alex probably knows something I don't, or what am I missing? A lot of times, you know, as I'm very vocal, sometimes I just don't agree with stuff. One of the ones I really didn't agree with was when the Braves cut Kyle Garlick, and I didn't really understand the move at the time, and now I really don't understand it. I don't know if there was something with Chad Sobotka that he wasn't allowed, like that you couldn't cut him to bring on Marcell Ozuna. I know Garlick was the one that was cut for Marcell Ozuna to be added in, and then Kyle Garlick gets picked up by Minnesota, and now Kyle Garlick is doing basically what most people who have watched him assumed he was going to do for the Braves, and that's hit left-handed pitchers very well. Now, it should be noted that he was not good with Philadelphia, and maybe the Braves weren't expecting this from him, but he looked really good, and he's just a guy that's always been able to hit. He's always been able to hit lefties, even though last year was bad for a lot of people, so I don't really understand. I don't understand why that move got made. I did not like it at the time. It didn't make a lot of sense to me, and it's really kind of hurting the Braves now. I mean, this is a team that right now we're kind of in the weeds outfield-wise, and being able to use Kyle Garlick would be very nice, or even just having him available off the bench. I know Adrianza and Pablo Sandoval have been very good, but I like more people to be even very good. As right now, Kyle Garlick's not setting the world on fire. He's got a WRC plus of 103, but that's something that for him is very sustainable. And he's going to start walking more. He tends to. He's not walking right now, but he's going to walk more. And he's a guy that over the course of his career generally hits the ball very hard. He'll usually slug right at about 450 to 550. He's got a good bat on him. And 2019, he had a 114 WRC plus. He was a positive WAR player, and that's a player that you could see. Now, he hasn't had any real extended time in the majors. Right now, he still only has 104 major league at bats. But you know what he can do, and he could have helped this team out. So I don't. That move is one that I really just don't understand. I would love to be able to know why they made that move. If it was just so he could go seek a starting job elsewhere, I mean, I appreciate you looking out for a guy, but ideally your bench should be guys that could go start somewhere else. That's kind of the point when you know that you have a super deep bench. I mean, the Dodgers have Zach McKinstry, who's quickly in the early running for Rookie of the Year. They've got all sorts of studs on their bench. We've seen what their bench can do. That's the team that you should be trying to emulate with their bench. So I didn't get that move. The other one is Dylan Moore, and I'm just using this because I got to give a shout out to Tommy Poe and Ryan Cothran, who I give a lot of grief on Twitter. I was being very petty when the Braves did cut Dylan Moore, kind of making fun of them being upset about it, but it was really just because I was messing with them. But Dylan Moore has turned into something very good for the Mariners. That's another player that the Braves just kind of released for no apparent reason. He went out, and now he's contributing a lot to a major league team. He's basically starting for the Mariners. He's a super utility type, second base, outfielder, can play third base too. Made a really, really nice play to end the game versus the Yankees last night. And he's a guy that's got 20-20 type potential. Now, he's not hitting well this year either, but he would be starting right now over Austin Riley. And it wouldn't move the needle or anything, but he's a guy that he's trending in a much better direction than Austin, I can tell you that. Because Austin, for whatever reason, I don't know who got in his ear. If it was Chipper, then that's really disappointing, and it kind of colors what I would think about Chipper Jones being a hitting coach for the Braves. If it's Chipper that's got Austin dropping his launch angle down to essentially be level with the ball all the way through, that's a bad idea. At this point, Drew Waters probably has a higher launch angle than Austin Riley, which has always been the knock on Drew. So I don't understand what Austin's doing. It's going to have to change. I mentioned that yesterday. It has to change. It cannot continue. He cannot be a light-hitting third baseman, because while his defense has come leaps and bounds better, and he's got super soft hands, and he makes some really awesome plays, his arm is very erratic, and he's still a negative defender now, too. So he has actually, because of how bad he's been to start the year, he's pushed his career value into the negatives. He has been, as of this moment, he has not been a successful major league player. At this moment, he's not been much different than Mike Olt. And that's kind of the path that he set himself on. And his timing might be a little bit off of the plate. Maybe that's all it is. Maybe it's just timing based. But I was hoping, I went looking, hoping to see that most of his counts were 0-2 counts. And I was hoping that kind of his bad results have been based on fighting off pitches with two strikes. But that's not the case. Most of his at-bats have been 0-1 counts. So it kind of shows it's been a dedicated philosophy of him trying to go opposite field and him trying to be level with the baseball instead of lift the baseball. And players can say all they want, and for anybody that's mad that I was just daring to question Chipper, listen, Chipper is without a doubt one of the greatest pure hitters of all time. Those people generally do not make good coaches, because it came so naturally to them. What they did is not always going to work for everyone else. Some people are just born with that type of talent. It's just like Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds would never have, like, I bet you Barry Bonds is an awful hitting coach. One, because he's not a nice person, but two, because the game was easy. And when it's easy like that, it's hard to really explain to somebody else why they need to do thing a certain way, or when you're trying to diagnose why they can't do something and you found it so easy. It's a much harder way to do it. That's why most of the really good hitting coaches in the game were not great hitters. They were guys that stuck around on benches for a while. They were guys that, you know, had longer careers, but they were journeymen. They had to work really, really hard and bite and scratch and claw and learn the most efficient way to do everything in order just to stick on a roster. So that is alarming to me. And for Austin, at some point, he's got to pull the ripcord on this and just go back and say, look, if I'm not going to hit well no matter what, I might as well not hit well and hit homers, because at least then he's valuable. I mean, Joey Gallo, as much as I can't stand to watch him play, because early in the season, he's actually hitting for average and not power, but he'll switch back to his Joey Gallo way soon enough. That's annoying for me to watch. I don't like seeing a guy hit 220. It's very annoying to see a guy with that many strikeouts, but it's just as annoying to see somebody who's 245 pounds roll out to second base because he can't put a barrel on the ball. Like, he's only had one barrel this season. He has one RBI. I mean, we're 17 games into it now, 16, 17 games. I mean, it's still small sample size, obviously, but it's not small enough to where you should only have one ribby batting in this lineup. I mean, he has zero extra base hits. Zero. This is that guy. Think back to when Austin Riley came up, what he was doing when he came up. This is almost that same type of stretch, the same amount of games, basically, a little bit less games, but this is right when he was tearing it up when he first came up. He has zero extra base hits, and there's nothing in his profile right now that's telling me that a bunch of extra base hits are coming. I know a lot of people will kind of defend that and be like, no, he's coming around. I think that's more a case of people wishing that he would, and it's people hoping, and it's people being optimistic, and if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do, but I got to call it like I see it, and right now, he doesn't look lost, which is the bad thing. If he looked lost, I could be like, all right, we'll send him down a little bit and let him find himself and find his eye and come back up. This looks to be intentional. It's just not working. So we'll see what happens, but this is going to be something I'm going to keep an eye on. And I really didn't expect this from Austin coming in this year. I knew he had to step up big, but I was not expecting him to have turned himself into a ground ball hitter. That was the exact opposite of what he should have done. And Seitzer needs to get in his ear. Snit needs to get in his ear. His dad needs to get in his ear. Somebody needs to get in his ear and get him to realize that, hey, man, you are not fast enough to be a mainly ground ball hitter. You do not have good enough bat control or good enough bat speed to poke balls where they ain't all the time. You have got to lift the ball. And if Austin doesn't do that, he's going to be replaced. He'll be replaced at the deadline. They'll go out and they'll make a move. Kyle Seager, keep your eye on that name. Kyle Seager is the one that I'm expecting. But if some things don't drastically start to change, man, they might even go after like an Evan Longoria if the Giants aren't still in it by the time that the deadline comes around. So I know that was a sour note to end on. On a lighter note, game starts at 6:35 today, not 7, so everybody should get a chance to watch without falling asleep if you're old like me. Happy birthday to my co-host on the Platinum Sombrero, Doc Herbert, one of my favorite people in the entire world, and really the reason that I'm doing this show as well. Doc has been just phenomenal, works with me all the time, and couldn't ask for a better friend or a better co-host. So I know most of you guys already listen to the Platinum Sombrero, but if you don't, just go follow Doc on Twitter, or just listen to an episode or two just to hear Doc. Doc is a brilliant baseball mind. A very, very happy birthday to my friend. That's going to be it for me today. I will catch you guys again tomorrow right here on Locked On Braves.